Hello, and welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Cami Culpepper, the Family and Connections Minister here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama. We're excited to be in a series we're calling In His Steps, Your Life Has Meaning. As you listen to these devotionals, our prayer is that you would find your meaning by being deeply rooted in the love of Christ as you learn to walk in His steps.
You're listening to Day 22 of In His Steps. Today's title is What Comes Out of Your Mouth? R.C. Sproul said, "The worship to which we are called in our renewed state is far too important to be left to personal preferences, to whims, or to marketing strategies. It is the pleasing of God that is the heart of worship. Therefore, our worship must be informed at every point by the Word of God as we seek God's own instructions for worship that is pleasing to Him." Our text today is Matthew 15, verses 10 through 11. "And He called the people to Him and said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person.'" During the next 7 days, we will focus on worship as another essential aspect of a growing relationship with our Lord. A basic definition of worship is ascribing appropriate worth to God. I once heard someone define worship in greater detail. Worship is our response to God for who He is and what He has done, expressed in the things we say and the way we live. We know that true worship of God must come from a heart that is genuinely surrendered to Him. In Matthew 15, 10 through 11, Jesus gives a profound statement about the importance of our inner being. This statement stems from an accusation from the Pharisees and scribes that Jesus' disciples were failing to keep the sacred traditions. R.C. Sproul describes the scene. "A delegation of scribes and Pharisees were sent to investigate Jesus. These men were not content merely to listen to Jesus and then report back to their superiors in Jerusalem. They observed something that raised doubts about Jesus' orthodoxy, so they asked Him a question. Specifically, they wanted to know why His disciples did not wash their hands before eating bread. They said that the disciples' failure to do so constituted a transgression." What is a transgression? In biblical terms, it's a crossing of a line, and that line is the law of God. In short, a transgression is a sin. But that which the disciples transgressed here was not a mandate found in the Old Testament. The Old Testament contains numerous laws regarding ritual purity and cleanliness. The priests were required to wash hands and feet before ministering in the tabernacle, but no such requirement was communicated to the general public regarding food consumption. The rabbis had added to the law of God, stating that it was incumbent upon all Jews, anytime they ate anything, to wash their hands first. But Jesus and His disciples paid no attention to this tradition. An example of this is, we have corporate worship because God commands it, but He nowhere tells us that our worship must be at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. That particular time, which is the most popular time for worship in the United States, is a church tradition. There is nothing wrong with worshiping at 11 a.m., but there is no rule that is binding on the conscience. No tradition, no matter how cherished, is more important than what Scripture teaches. Christ tells these religious traditionalists that Isaiah prophesied about them when he wrote in Isaiah 29:13, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Jesus distances Himself from the Pharisees and scribes and teaches the people where true defilement originates. The Pharisees had accused Jesus' disciples of ritual uncleanliness, but Jesus shared with the people that true defilement originates in the heart. The religious elite of Jesus' day pretended to worship God, but the attitude in their hearts defiled them. The word Jesus uses for defile is koinos and means to make profane, to pollute, or to make unclean. Their words seemed good to their own ears, but God heard them as dirty and contaminated. What they thought was pleasing to God, he considered profane. We spend way too much time considering our outward appearance instead of paying closer attention to what is going on in our inner being. The physical is far less important than the spiritual, because only our relationship with God will last forever. What would happen if we spent more time getting spiritually ready for worship? If we're not careful, we can judge whether someone is truly worshiping God by whether they are singing or raising their hands. Truth be told, we should get excited about worshiping God. However, we must be careful not to forget that the most important part of worship is the attitude of our hearts. What if what we think is worship is really worthless in the eyes of God? What if what we think are the right words God says is really wicked? What if our hands raised makes others think we are pure, but God knows us as polluted? What if we are bowed down before God on our knees, but in reality, our hearts are proud, arrogant, and unclean? Worship was never meant to be an outward show. In reality, it must come from a surrendered heart. When it comes to worship, make sure you never place tradition over scripture, or outward appearance over the attitude of your heart. Here are some questions for today. In what ways are we prone to be like the Pharisees when it comes to our traditions? While some traditions are valuable, how do we ensure we don't place any traditions concerning praising God over what Scripture teaches us about biblical worship? When it comes to your worship, where is your main focus? On your emotions and actions, or on your heart towards God? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.